And welcome back to another episode of De Stefano Talks, talking Scottish football. I love how I've just went, hello and welcome back to another episode. There hasn't been an episode in over a year, but welcome back nonetheless. It is good to be here. It's good to be sat in front of my microphone, and I'm looking forward to recapping all the week's action and all the weekend's action in Scottish football. I am Stefan Garland. Today, I am joined by two new guests. First time on the podcast, we have Finlay and we have Robbie. Finlay, how you doing, mate?
Not too bad. I was pleasantly surprised by the weekend's football, so I'm very excited to talk about it.
It was wild. Robbie, how you doing?
I'm doing good, mate. Yeah, no, excited to be on. Excited to start talking about some football.
Love it. That's exactly what we're here for. We're here to talk all things Scottish football. Before we get started, I just want to give you both a chance just to introduce yourselves to the audience. Who are you? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name is Finlay. I live in Glasgow. I've been doing some video freelancing, working with Partick Thistle's charitable trust, basically just trying to get involved in football any way I can. I'm just obsessed going to games, watching games, finding any medium to talk about it, just because not that many people, as it turns out, want to listen to Scottish football outside of Scotland. But hopefully, when people hear about the stories that we have, that will change.
Robbie?
So I've just finished a master's degree in media and journalism, and I'm looking to kind of go into the footballing kind of world. I think this is a really great opportunity for me to start talking about football stuff like that. Big Premier League fan, big Liverpool fan, and really enjoy watching the Scottish football as well. I've got an uncle who lives in Edinburgh, who's a big Hibs fan, and he's also a walking encyclopedia with this kind of stuff. So yeah, hopefully can do him proud.
I love it. What I love most about that is the fact that we're here to do exactly that. We're here to talk about the football. And the good thing, right, about Scottish football is it is the most passionate and raw game in world football at the moment. Listen, that could just be my bias, but no one does Scottish football like Scottish football. It's full of controversy, it's full of drama, it's full of good moments, it's full of bad moments. It's a full shebang, and I love it. Good to have you both on board. We do have another two joining us next week. Unfortunately, prior arrangements and dodgy trains have resulted in them not being here. It is okay. We will see them next week. But yeah, pleasure to have both of you on, and working alongside myself. So yeah, let's get started. Let's dive into exactly what we're here to talk about, which is Scottish football. And the best place to start, before we recap all this weekend's action, let's talk a little bit about last week. Let's talk about the European results that Scottish teams had in Europe. Celtic were playing away in Bergamo against Atalanta in the UEFA Champions League match day three. That, to many, was a game that I think Celtic fans dreaded, and I think neutral viewers were thinking, if Dortmund was 7-1, how many are Atalanta going to take? And if you're a Celtic fan, you were absolutely pleasantly surprised at the result. You were probably shocked. If you were a neutral, you were probably thinking, how the hell have they walked out of Bergamo with a point against a side that had 22 shots on goal? So, Robbie, let's start with yourself. What did you think?
So I think, first of all, I think it was a very, very good result for Celtic, away at Atalanta. Obviously, the Europa League champions last year, very, very notorious for scoring goals. Obviously, put three past Bayer Leverkusen in the final, who were previously unbeaten in their season. They put three past Liverpool as well, and also put another one away at home. So yeah, I think it's a very good result for Celtic. I think it's a brilliant result, and I think everyone can be pretty happy with that on an away game, really.
Yeah, absolutely. You talk about the goals that they've scored against teams. If you look at the weekend's action in Serie A, they put five goals past Verona in the first half and then scored another one just for good measure in the second half and absolutely whacked them 6-1. So it's a team that we know can score goals. Finlay, what about yourself? What did you think?
I honestly, after the 7-1, I would be fearing for the worst if I was a Celtic fan when I came into it. I thought, you know, you'd be lucky to get away with 3-0 and under, because Brendan Rodgers, he was so clear about not wanting to change things. And I, you know, obviously hindsight is 20/20, and now I look like a bit of an idiot, but I was thinking, that's brilliant. Same again for you. How are you supposed to progress as a European team? Because it's all very well now winning the league every year, but how are you supposed to progress as a European team if you're following the kind of Russell Martin at Southampton mantra of, no, we're a possession team despite a massive gulf in quality. And I was totally proved wrong. Like, Celtic came away, really surprised me, got the same result, same points as Arsenal did. They looked like a serious team. They still attacked. They never really looked like they were going to sit deep and just try and keep Atalanta out. And, you know, maybe some people would say Atalanta were maybe lucky not to get 3 points. I don't think so. I think Celtic defended in such a way that they kept the shots, you know, manageable. Kasper Schmeichel made some, you know, some good saves, but it never looked like they lost control of that game. And so if I was Brendan Rodgers and his players, I would be thinking, you know, we have something here. I think we can really progress in the next results. You know, they might not qualify for the next round, but they're starting to look like a more serious European team than they have in the last few years.
So you're spot on there, right? Because I think for most Celtic fans, they were fearing the worst in terms of, is Brendan Rodgers going to be a little bit more pragmatic with how he sets his team up? Or is he just going to do his classic Brendan in Europe and just go toe-to-toe? Now, in his press conference, he said that in his whole time as a coach, he's never changed his style and he's not going to start changing that now. I remember saying to someone at the time, I was like, that's either going to be extraordinary paper talk and he's going to be pragmatic and he's going to shock people. I doubted it. Or he's just telling you exactly what he's telling you and he's going to go toe-to-toe with them. And if you're a Celtic fan, you're saying, well, thank God he chose to be a little bit more pragmatic, because it picked them up a vital point in their hopes of qualifying for the next stages of the Champions League. So a good result for Celtic in Europe. Then on the Thursday, we had Hearts versus Omonia Nicosia, and we also had Rangers versus FCSB. 4-0 result for Rangers. Could have been a totally different game. FCSB had the ball in the back of the net. Jack Butland, although, was fouled. Finlay, what did you think?
I think you might be right in things could have been very different. You know, a 1-0 lead, Rangers have been, let's say, not themselves this season, and a 1-0 lead could have really shaken them. Luckily, I mean, I think it was a foul. But the point is, you know, it wasn't, and they came back and they won 4-0. I think they desperately needed that result. Like, you know, after a 1-0 loss at Kilmarnock, they put in like a very dominant display. But had things gone, you know, had they been 1-0 down, things could have been different. That we'll never know. We might see that in another European game. But I think what will matter to Philippe Clement, the fans, is, you know, they scored the first goal and they went on to cruise. And some players that, you know, have been quiet in recent weeks have started kind of coming back to life, which is a good sign. It bodes well for the next few weeks.
Absolutely. I think we've heard this statement from Philippe Clement, as we've yet to see the real Rangers. It very much felt like a European performance from Rangers, because they did eventually run out 4-0. We know that they have had some good form in Europe over the last couple of years. We remember their run to the Europa League final. They are a team that know how to play European football and get good results from it. Robbie, what about yourself? What did you think?
I thought it was a very, very needed win for Rangers, especially in the Europa League. They took a heavy 4-1 loss to Lyon in the previous game week, and they've obviously not had the best start to the season in the Scottish Premiership either. So it was very, very important, I think, that Rangers did get a result from this game. On the contrary to Finlay, I actually think that they did get away with one. I think Jack Butland really did get away with one there with the 1-0. I understand that obviously the rules of the game try to protect the keepers more these days, but I do think that was very soft, and I think if that had happened to my team, I would have been very, very frustrated with it. But yeah, I think on the whole there was a lot to be positive about there for Rangers and Rangers fans.
Yeah, it was a controversial start to the game. I was like, oh, Butland's in trouble. You know, it was one of them. I was quickly onto Twitter and I was like, right, okay, what do people think of this? And typically you would have a section being like, no, it was a foul. The referee made a really good decision. Although Rangers got away with one, the other side was, that's never a foul. FCSB have been... You know, they've been robbed there, and someone made the point that it does change the game. It's like small moments, it's sliding doors. These change the game. Guess the question I'm going to ask both of you then is: Do you think if the goal had have stood, do you think Rangers would have performed at the same level and intensity that they did when the goal obviously didn't stand? I'll start with you, Finlay.
Yeah, I think this is just a question about what we think, you know, where we think Rangers are at mentally. Can they recover from setbacks? And, you know, I don't want to kind of jump the gun. But, you know, this weekend showed, I think, that they're not as brittle as we think. They're still a class side. I think they just, you know, they get nervy. They get shaken a bit. But I think ultimately, they had that quality, you know, to turn things around. They had the quality to turn things around this weekend. And I think maybe just because they've had a rough start, we've decided a bit that they're not mentally like anywhere near it. But they've got a lot of players in there who can turn things around. And I think because the goal was early on, that's plenty of time to get the result they needed. I think maybe if it was later on, as it was against Kilmarnock, they might have wilted a little bit. But I don't think we'll know that until we see another result in which they fall behind, you know, towards the end of the game. But, you know, time will tell. Time will tell.
Yeah, I agree. I think that they probably would have come back and won this game. I think what you have to take into account as well is European nights, especially at a stadium like Ibrox, that they are different and they are special, and the crowds are often very much up for it, more up for it. And I don't think going 1-0 down after a minute would have silenced the Rangers fans. I think if anything, it would have really, you know, got them fired up more for the game. And to be honest, I think the momentum would have very, very quickly shifted back into Rangers' favour.
Let's move on to the final game of the European week, and it was Hearts versus Ammonia Nicosia. Hearts obviously have not had the best start to their season, but to start off in the Europa Conference League, and then to be 2-0 up in the first half in match day two is incredible. How do you see that for Hearts? Obviously a good result, but how do you see that carrying them on for the rest of the season? We can obviously speak more about that in depth when we discuss the Edinburgh Derby. But at that point in time, a good moment, Robbie?
Yeah, I do think it's a good moment for them. I think, again, this is a really, really important result for Hearts. Obviously, this is now 2-2 in the Conference League for them. But as we've seen from this season, Hearts are not performing well at all currently. Obviously, Neil Critchley's just come in. The new manager bounce is absolutely a thing. You know, you see it with teams all the time. And I think that's definitely what we are seeing here at the moment. It's a very, very important result, I do think, for Hearts, because they needed this kind of a lift. And I think, you know, again, like I say, at home, European nights, the crowds are always up for it. So, yeah, I think this was a very, very big result for them.
Yeah, I think it's been nice to see a team playing the way you expect them to. I think Hearts, when they came third, that was the level that they should have been at. And I think correct me if I'm wrong, but Stephen Naismith seemed to get the job off the back of delivering what Hearts should have been delivering, and that fell away, and it looked like the players were totally playing within themselves, and it was a shame to see, because that team has a lot of quality. Like, to see Jan Danda fall out of form and not be himself, because last season when you were watching it for Ross County, I think most fans in the Scottish Prem would have loved to have him on their team. So to see a kind of waste of his talents at the beginning of the season was such a shame. But they desperately needed that. And I don't think that, you know, people might say like a Cypriot team is a walkover. I don't think that's true at all. I think for those who remember, you know, not that long ago when Rangers were playing Apoel, they had them in two games. They didn't get a single win against them because European nights are very different and Hearts are still balancing two competitions. So it's nice to see the Hearts team playing more to their level. And it's nice to see, even though, you know, Shankland still contributes as a 10, we know he's playing a different role. He's not just scoring everything for them. They're not depending on him as much, but it's nice to see other players stepping up because at the beginning of the season, you know, you had players like Vargas taking chances, missing a lot. And there was a big gap left by Shankland's lack of goals. But it's good to see that, like, you know, Forrest and Spittle now with that second goal, just kind of picking up the mantle, picking up what Shankland has left in a kind of, let's call it a bit of a rut, but still contributing creatively. So I'm glad, I'm excited to see them. I'm excited to see how they'll fare against top teams in the Prem.
Absolutely spot on. Let's kind of move away from the European football, but let's stay with Hearts. Massive game today in Edinburgh, Easter Road, as Hibs took on Hearts in the Edinburgh Derby. The game finished 1-1. I've got to be honest, it's a game that I was looking forward to because both teams joined bottom of the table. Both teams were in a perilous position. A 1-1 draw, is that a fair result, do you think, Finlay?
Fair result. Neither fan set of fans will feel like this was a fair result, but I think it was. I think Hearts looked the better side. And I just think, you know, the ability to keep going, keep pushing, especially when they've probably felt like at this point in the Premiership had nothing to lose, to be able to find that goal, I think that's an important step for them to have taken. I think Hibs and David Gray, they will be kicking themselves to have not got the points here. And I think now, more than ever, people, you know, like Hibernian fans will really start to worry about what the rest of the season looks like, especially with the way the other results this weekend went.
Robbie, I guess the question then goes to you. Do you think it was a fair result or do you disagree with what Finlay said and didn't think maybe one side deserved to win it more than the other?
On the whole, probably a fair result. I think Hibs will be kicking themselves. Obviously, they had a massive opportunity to score with Triantis late in the game, but they squandered that, and then obviously you know football's about these big moments, and if you don't take these big moments, then the momentum can very, very quickly shift and things like this can happen. So I think Hibs, yeah, I think if anything, Hibs will probably be disappointed. Was it a fair result? Yeah, probably. I think the last four out of the last five Edinburgh derbies have finished in draws. You know, they're always affairs where no matter how well or badly one of the teams are playing or if they both are, you know, form goes out of the window in a game like this, I think. So on the whole, I don't think either team can complain too much. I think obviously missed chances make that kind of a case for maybe one team should have beat the other, but I think there was that on both sides. I do think that, like Finlay said about Shankland, actually, I think he was heavily involved again today. He seems to be having a bit of a tough time in front of goal at the moment, I think, and Hearts are kind of suffering from that. But that being said, he has been, you know, turning up in those pockets of space, taking his shots. He's been very unlucky, I think, in quite a lot of games at the start of the season. So I do think he will probably start to kick on at some point because, you know, top scorer last season, he's a good enough player to be up there again. So yeah, I think on the whole, probably fair result.
Who would you say your man of the match was, Finlay?
Man of the match, I think that's difficult to say. I'm gonna have to go with Craig Gordon. Oh, you know what? I'm gonna take that back because I want to talk about James Wilson. You know, I know it's just people who scored the goal get a lot of the glory, but for me, as a 17-year-old to score away in a derby like that, you know, that late on, that's quite incredible. And I think it was exciting to me as well to be able to see kind of young Scottish players getting their highlights. You know, it's not really been like that in recent years. They've always been, you know, taken away from the academies, or, you know, had a few games and then been, you know, swept away to England. You know, your Nathan Pattersons, your Aaron Hickeys, always disappearing. So for Scottish young players to be getting headlines again, it's very exciting. And I'm very excited to see what he can become as a player if he just carries on.
Robbie, what about yourself? Who was your man of the match?
So I think there was a couple of contenders. I do actually think that Marvin Ekpiteta had a very good game for Hibs today. And he was also heavily involved in the goal, the Hibs goal. I think Hibs on the whole have actually defended quite well this season. I just think that a lot of the times they've really struggled to score goals. They've only got 9 goals in 9 games currently. And I think, yeah, Ekpiteta had a very, very good game today. So I think he would be up there. But having said that, I do think Craig Gordon, probably I would give it to him purely because the moments that he was involved in were match-defining moments, in the sense where he made a good reactive save to Dwight Gayle, a header from Dwight Gayle at some point in the second half, I believe. And he made a few other saves. I think Hibs had five or six big chances in that game and they only scored one goal. I think Craig Gordon had a very big part to play in that. So purely based off match winning ability, match saving ability, yeah, I would probably give it to Craig Gordon.
Let's just finally touch two things I want to finally touch on. We spoke about Stephen Naismith. We said about how his time at Hearts obviously has come to an end, replaced by Neil Critchley. David Gray, is he on a shaky peg? Start with you, Finlay.
Probably. Bottom of the table, not scoring any goals, like Robbie said. It's just very uninspiring football. Not even getting a win here today, which would have done him a world of good. I don't think it would have saved anything, just maybe delayed things. And I do feel bad for him because he's not the... I wouldn't say he's the problem. I think maybe there's a much wider problem, much bigger problem going on at Hibs, and he's going to be the face of it. And no doubt, you know, if I was a betting man, I would say he's going to get sacked before the end of the season. But I think a lot of people would just find that the next manager would be same again, because there's a very very big systemic problem, I think, with Hibs. I'm not exactly sure what's wrong, but it seems that every manager who passes through faces very similar issues. It doesn't matter, you know, they used to ship goals for fun, but they used to be able to compensate with them. Now they defend better, but they can't score. I think there's something much deeper going on, and it didn't matter if you sacked him. I think there's something going on at Hibs that just changing manager without changing anything else wouldn't fix.
Robbie, what about yourself? Would you call time on him, or do you think he's got a chance?
Yeah, honestly, I can't see much changing for Hibs' fates, unfortunately, under David Gray. You know, just looking at some of the results, I think, like we've said already, that there's a real lack of goal scoring ability here. I think there was a period where Hibs had a kind of a knack of scoring late goals, late equalizers, late winners, and they seem to have lost that a little bit of that now. I don't know whether that's anything to do with the manager or not, but there just seems to be a bit of a lack of a spark, I suppose, in the attacking department with Hibs. And I think if you can't get that sorted out, you're almost doomed to not win any games, not win any points. So I do think that it's only a matter of time before he's sacked.
Okay, there's an element of the game that I didn't want to touch on, but it is right that we do address it. That was at some point in today's game, I think it was James Penrice was on the far side getting ready to take a throw-in when he was struck by an object, which at the time I thought was coins. No place for that in the game. I talk about Scottish football being raw, being passionate, being, you know, having some of the best support at a football match that you can possibly have, just because of how, again, yeah, how passionate everyone is about it. But for me, that goes way beyond passion. Were you shocked when you seen that happen, Finlay?
Yeah, definitely. It's just one of those things that it kind of disappears for a bit. You think it's out the game, and then someone just... I don't know what pushes them to do it. But if you're playing in a game, or if you're about to take a throw-in or any kind of action, and there's a fear of like something being thrown at you or hitting your head, that's going to change your performance. It's going to give you something else to think about. And it's not like football players need any more to think about in a game than, you know, the unlimited options they have in front of them, the kind of combinations they have to think about. it's just a stupid thing to do. And it's like, it doesn't, I know a lot of people think they might do it to give their team an advantage. It doesn't do that.
100%. I think it's behaviour that no one wants to see within a football stadium. We often see the debate up around about the fact that there's no alcohol allowed to be sold in Scottish grounds. You're not allowed to be able to drink alcohol in a football stadium. And we talk about fan behaviour all the time, the sort of rise in the use of pyrotechnics and things like that. Now, you know, it's always one of them. There's always talking points. But I think when it comes to something like, you know, throwing an object, like, I can take someone's eye out. It's got no place.
Yeah, it's a shame, really, because it's one of them where you say, are you surprised? I don't actually feel like I am that surprised. You know, we see stuff like this happen all the time. Every season there's something, you know, a beer can, well, not in Scottish football, but beer bottles you see in European away games being thrown at people. Obviously these coin stuff. I don't actually have a problem with stuff like pyrotechnics. It might be a controversial opinion, but I think when used, you know, appropriately, I think pyrotechnics actually, if anything, just adds amazingly to the atmosphere of a football game. You know, I've been to games in Europe where pyrotechnics have been there, and it's amazing, as long as they're not being thrown or anything like that. I think they're absolutely fine. But this kind of stuff with coin throwing and all that kind of stuff, it you are right. It definitely doesn't bode well for anyone who would like to have a drink in the ground. I just don't see that happening anytime soon, unfortunately. But that doesn't mean that people don't, you know, go and drink loads of pints before the games anyway. Do you know what I mean? I think a lot of people will do that anyway, and then that probably has a part to play in it. You know, people get absolutely smashed before the game, and then I think that leads to stupider decisions, which then kind of ruins it for the others who just want to go and maybe have a few drinks at the game and enjoy themselves.
I think we could have a full hour-long podcast discussion on, are the use of pyrotechnics a good thing for football or not? That is something I want to revisit in the future, because I would love to have that conversation and sort of see what everyone's take on it is, because it's just such it's a discussion that just prompts so many different takes. Okay, Edinburgh Derby ended 1-1. Both teams stay as they were. Let's head back from the foot of the table to the top of the table. Let's talk about Celtic's victory today over Motherwell. It was a 3-0 victory for the away side in the end up. Going into the game, Finlay, what were you thinking? Did you think it would be such an easy ride for Celtic, or are we expecting something typical of last season where Motherwell were able to hold their own a lot more?
To be honest, I kept a close eye on this one because I thought, what happens when you put in a big shift in Europe? You tend to be very, like, you're a big target for teams. You're like, you know, they've expended their energy, so come the weekend, you know, take advantage of that. And actually, game started, I watched the beginning of it, it started to look that way. You know, you'll talk about it more, but hitting the woodwork twice, Lennon Miller, by basically like running the game, and I really thought, uh-oh, Celtic might be in trouble here. And then I kind of turned off just to focus on the Rangers game, and then it looks like they ran out easy winners. So you might be able to give me more information about this, but I was surprised by how it started, not so much by how it ended.
Yeah, no. I think you're spot on. You talk about expenditure in European football and how that leads into a sort of domestic hangover. Going into the game, yeah, I thought Celtic could be caught lapsed here with a European hangover. Callum McGregor out with a slight abductor issue, according to Brendan Rodgers. You're thinking, okay, the captain's not playing. Still don't have Cameron Carter-Vickers, your top main defender. Not even centre-back, but just the main defender as a whole is not there. How are you going to be able to play without arguably two of your key players in a very tough venue that has become Fir Park over the last year or so whenever Celtic have gone there? I thought in the first 10 minutes it was shaky. Lennon Miller had hit the woodwork twice. All he had to do was hit the other post and he was taking the frame away with him. It felt like a very slack performance, but then as soon as Luke McCowan on his first start for Celtic, you know, the finish was sublime, but then they really kicked on and took control of the game. Motherwell had fleeting moments where they were getting up the park, but it was a strong, in the end, it was a strong performance that I didn't think would be as comfortable. Robbie, what about yourself? What did you think?
Well, I think with Celtic, there's almost an inevitability of goals. So I did think that it would probably be okay. In the league so far, you've not scored less than two goals, and you are sat currently in second place. Now in first place after today's result. So I think that on the whole, I do think Celtic were more than likely going to win this game. It's been a very, very strong start to the season. You've not lost a game yet. I appreciate the European hangover has a part to play, but I think with all due respect to Motherwell, I think it was never really a game that Celtic were going to drop points in.
I think that's a sort of fair almost analysis to have. You know, Celtic do score loads of goals. The only teams that they've conceded goals to in the league this season are Ross County and Aberdeen, and that's just been in the last two match days. I think when you look at Celtic, you see how strongly they've started the season, unbeaten, one blemish on their record with that draw to Aberdeen last week, but equally Celtic are the one blemish on Aberdeen's record. You know, that speaks volumes to them as well.
I know I saw Adam Ida score the third goal. I didn't watch this game, but I've been watching the others. I've been watching Europe. I just wanted to ask the two of you if you rate Adam Ida, but how highly you rate him. And I know maybe some people will say price tag shouldn't matter, but, you know, 9 million, I think it was, is a hefty price tag in Scottish football. And I just wanted to know what you thought of his, what he brings to the team versus how much he cost.
I think he's obviously got the quality. He came from Norwich, I believe. I think he's got the quality. I think obviously the price tag, I think with a lot of players, the price tag can put added pressure on them from football fans, from pundits, from anyone around the footballing world. I think, you know, had he cost, I understand that obviously it is a lot of money, but had he cost a couple of million, I don't think maybe there would have been so much scrutiny on him. I think he's still young. He's a talented player. I think he's got a lot of potential. I do think that given the time, I think he can really, really fly at Celtic.
For me, I'm kind of in the same boat there. 9 million was the price tag, and I remember at the time when that was being floated, I was talking to a few of my mates, and they were saying, "Well, yeah, Celtic should pay it, because you look at the goals they scored last season. He scored two penalties at Easter Road when Celtic were 5 points behind Rangers at the time in the league. He scored a pivotal goal against Motherwell, again in those classic last minute victories that Celtic had over Motherwell. He did that as well. He scored some really pivotal goals for Celtic, no more pivotal, I think, than in the Scottish Cup final against Rangers in the Dying Embers. He is a big game player, and Celtic believed that, and they paid £9 million for him. Price tags can always weigh heavy on players right now. Arne Engels came into Celtic for £11 million. People starting to question why have they paid the money for him, because he's not up to the level yet. I think it's always going to be a case in football where fans, when players don't start off well, they panic and they start flapping and they're like, "Oh my god, what have we done?" I think for me, guys like Adam Ida, guys like Arne Engels, you have to give them time. In Adam Ida's case, we know how good he is. Footballers can be on and off the boil. I think for me, Adam Ida is a player that, given the chances, will absolutely back up that price tag. People will disagree. That's the beauty of football. But yeah, for me, £9 million. worth every penny, in my opinion. So, yeah. What about yourself then, Finlay? I'm gonna return that question back on you.
Well, I brought it up because I thought, yeah, I might be the odd one out. I think, you know, price tag should matter in what you think of a player, obviously. And I think Adam Eder has a lot of credit in the bank. Like you mentioned, the performances against Hibs and Rangers. And I remember watching him last year the same way I'm watching him this year. And I know it might be unfair at this stage in his career. I didn't think he had the technical level to be playing for Celtic. And you're absolutely right. He is a big game player and he will contribute in those moments. I just think that for 9 million or even just in the position up front for Celtic, I think just they can do better. And I think if they are looking to go that level above, you're not just needing, you know, the 20 goals a season. You should be able to get that. You know, if, like Cyril Dessers is giving you that. That's what he gave Rangers last season. When you want to progress that level beyond, you should have a striker. You know, the same way that you saw, for example, last season, Matt O'Reilly, and you went, wow, that's a cut above. And I think Celtic should have been a bit smarter with their money than a player that brought them kind of, you know, big moments or like happy memories. And I'm going to be, you know, there's a good chance I'm going to prove totally wrong about this. I don't think he has the required level. And I think there was another, I don't know who it was, but I think there was another player out there that would have fit the bill for Celtic striker to carry them into Europe.
Okay, I love that. I guess the sort of devil's advocate in me then asks, and you've just answered the question, but if it wasn't Adam Eder, who would you have had? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's why I don't get paid the big bucks by Celtic. But I say that not as kind of in a way to be disrespectful to Celtic, but actually because I'm trying to give them credit for the signings that they've made, you know, where they've been so much better than Rangers, which has been bringing in players that have resale value, but have also managed to keep them as champions, you know, in the, as many times as they have been in the last decade and beyond. They can bring in players that they can sell on for a lot more while still having a kind of winning mentality and not just going, ah, this is a development year for this player. You come in, you need to win, but expect that if you perform, you can go to a bigger club. And that's why I've been, you know, I've been really impressed with the players they have brought in. And like I said, Matt O'Reilly has gone and they'll have more of those. And I see that in a way for Engels, although I don't know how much more you can get out of him than 11 million. I think that they'll turn a profit on him. But that's why, is because I think they've done such a good job of finding the right talent, developing them and selling them on, that I think that maybe Adam Eder is not quite that. But, you know, people will know better than I do, and I think I could be proved wrong. It's just what I've seen so far.
Let's move on and move on to the other side in the title race. Aberdeen versus Dundee United, the new firm derby. Seemed like an absolute corker of a night up in Pittodrie, 5:30 kickoff under the lights. Jim Goodwin up against his former side. Jimmy Tilleen looking to take his title chasing Dons back to the summit of the Scottish Premiership. On paper, looks like a fiery game. Looks like two teams that have started, well, one team that started the season off impeccably, and another team in Dundee United that have started off the season really, really strong as well. Going into that match, was there any doubt that Aberdeen were going to win that game for you, Robbie?
For me, no. I think Aberdeen have performed so well towards the start of this season that it just looked like the momentum really was going to continue. I think obviously they've had a good start to the season, and it's a big game. I just think that the Aberdeen have shown their quality too many times this year that it was going to be a tough game, as we've seen. You know, it took them 85 minutes to break through, but the game just seemed very much as though Aberdeen were in control, and I think it was bound to happen at some point that they were going to score.
What about yourself, Finlay? Did you think the run was going to stop there, or did you think it was going to rumble on?
I was worried about this one. Dundee United have been my surprise team of the season, obviously, apart from Aberdeen, having not lost a game yet and done so well. Dundee United have looked like they've been in the Premiership for years. Like, they look like a strong side. And I thought, Aberdeen didn't score early on. They didn't score in the first half. That's when I started to worry about. I thought that maybe this would be their first kind of slip up. I wouldn't call Celtic a slip up. I'd say that was a great result for them. But I thought maybe they would give way here. And they did incredibly well. Dundee United did themselves no favours with the way they played in the second half. That was very disappointing. And I think they really could have gone for it if they'd backed themselves a little bit more. I think this is also just another very impressive result for an Aberdeen side that would have fallen away this time last year.
Okay, no, perfect. Jimmy Tilleen certainly seems like he's the real deal just now. Whenever a manager that isn't Scottish comes into the league, people always point and think, do they understand the Scottish game? People said the same about Ange Postecoglou when he came in. There was questions asked. There was fun poked at him, poked at his name, poked at where he had achieved success. He'd done it in Japan, but what's Japan to Scottish football? We've seen it with Angelo Alessio, and at Kilmarnock, he tried to implement a different style. People didn't like it. They were like, it's not your Craig Levein, your Derek McInnes, your typical run-of-the-mill Scottish manager. The same, ultimately, people didn't think, no one could have expected Jimmy Tilleen to be this good. Could Dale Finlay?
No, not especially not me. I thought that things would be better. They couldn't really get any worse. I definitely didn't expect to be thinking, wait, maybe Aberdeen are title contenders, And usually the measure of a team that can do well is how they deal with challenges, obstacles. Against Dundee United, how do you deal with a team that, plays as if they were playing against Celtic? How do you break a team down when teams are no longer surprised by the way you play? And the way they played was like, they kept going. They found new ways to win. I was impressed by that. Then, let's go back, a few games ago, Papa Gay, top scorer in the league. He's still the top scorer in the league with 5 goals in only 5 games. He's injured, and I thought, okay, now Aberdeen are going to struggle. Remember, they lost Miovski. While they've replaced him, he's come to life. Now he's gone. What are they going to do? And it's just been seamless since. So I think the thing that's most impressed me about Aberdeen is the way they've continued to kind of come back from these setbacks and these problems and just found new ways to win. And I don't think that'll stop anytime soon.
Okay. No, that's a really interesting point that you've made. So I really appreciate that. Robbie, what about yourself? Did you expect Jimmy Tilleen to be this good?
I didn't expect him to be this good. No, not at all. And the thing that I would say is, am I expecting him to pull this off for the rest of the season? Aberdeen obviously didn't have a good season, didn't have a good year last year. They've been absolutely brilliant at the start of this season, but it's a long old season. There's 38 games to be played, and we've seen it countless times in countless leagues with teams that have really good runs of games. Aberdeen have got a good team, they absolutely do, and they've got good players, and I think they will be right up there come the end of the year. But will they have the gas, will they have the steam to go all the way, will they have the gas to compete all the way to the end? I think when you bring new players in as well, I think that there's often a little bit that you need time to kind of gel as a team, and I do think that after a while we might start to see the cracks show in Aberdeen's performances.
Okay, so you think the train that Jimmy Tilleen is driving right now, the wheels might come off Interesting.
Possibly.
Okay, no, I like it. Let's move on. Rangers versus St Mirren this afternoon at Ibrox. Finlay, you were watching this one for us. 2-1, was that a fortunate scoreline for Rangers, or was it a scoreline that was always coming?
No, I don't think the end result, the 2-1, was unfair on either side. And I don't mean that as a disrespect to St Mirren. I think by the 70th minute, they'd started to fall away and had stopped really producing anything. So, you know, Rangers kind of dominated. They deserved the second goal. And I think the concern towards the beginning of the game was once they got the first and St Mirren equalised, Rangers didn't look like themselves anymore. And they looked very shaky. And this looked like, for a Rangers fan, it will have been a same again. Here we go again. But, you know, they composed themselves. I think Raskin, he's maybe gone under the radar, was immense. For those who don't really watch Rangers that often, he plays very much a kind of Billy Gilmore for Scotland role, always coming deep, always showing for the ball, always spraying it around, trying to contribute. And I think he's really helped Conor Barron. I think he's taken a lot of pressure off Conor Barron in that midfield. Because, you know, he's always, you know, there, an extra option, whereas Conor Barron has maybe taken a little bit of time to settle into this team. You know, he's kept Diamande out, although Diamande did come and score a brilliant poacher's goal towards the end. I thought Rangers ultimately were too good. I think they were, in a sense, lucky towards the beginning because they really struggled. You know, Proper really struggled with Osasanya, who looked incredible in that game until he fell away, you know, a bit like the rest of the team. But they were just too good. And St Mirren played well. They just, you know, it looked like the gulf that it was, and that the result reflected that.
Okay, perfect. Robbie, I guess my next question then for you is going to be Philip Clement. Tough time as Rangers manager this season. A lot of people were very unhappy with him last weekend. I don't know if the mood shifted that much during the week, although it was a great European win. How do you see him? Do you think he's the right person to take Rangers forward?
I do, actually. I do. I think Rangers, obviously they've had a poor start to the season by no doubt. However, I do think they seem to be kicking on slightly at the moment. You know, the last weekend was a very, very poor result. But they've had some good results along the way. I think obviously the game in midweek was a very big one for them. And I do think that they will do well. I think I've completely forgotten his name now. Cerny, I think he's been obviously in very good in form recently. And I think that although it's been a poor start to the season, I do think that Rangers will start to kick on a little bit in coming up in recent games.
Okay, perfect. Just on the outside news of that, Stephen Robinson, the St Mirren manager, was given a new contract this past week, so we know his future secure. Philip Clement received a new bumper contract in the summer. A lot of people now thinking that was a wrong move. 2-1 victory for Rangers sees them remain 6 points off of the top two in Celtic in Aberdeen. Elsewhere this weekend, we've seen a couple of other matches take place. It was Dundee versus St Johnstone. That scoreline ended in a 2-1 defeat for the home side as St Johnstone ran out 2-1 winners. There was a slight controversy with the second goal for St Johnstone. Again, I don't know if anyone's had the chance to see it, but there was a handball shout for Dundee's Simon Murray, which would have given St Johnstone a penalty, but the ball was bundled home by Nicky Clark. However, they couldn't determine whether or not it was offside, and if it was offside, then they would award the penalty, but they couldn't genuinely determine whether or not it was offside, so the goal was given. See, when I tell you Scottish football is unrivaled in the amount of drama and controversy that exists, this right here is a prime example of that. If you're a Dundee fan, you're gutted. If you're a St Johnston fan, you're thinking, God, we've rode our luck there and we'll get away with it. Superb. And our final match was Ross County versus Kilmarnock, which ended in, another 2-1 defeat, this time for the away side, as Kilmarnock got beat 2-1. Ross County seemed like they had good portions of the game. Kelly got a man sent off. Liam Donnelly, this is a new thing that Scottish referees have started to crack down on. See if you impede the restart of a play. So say, I don't know if you have seen this video. I think it was a Dutch game, and the keeper comes out and he clears the ball and he kicks it out of the park. And then he goes and grabs the ball and kicks it back onto the park just to stop the attacking team from resuming play quickly. Well, that's what Liam Donnelly did, effectively. He kicked the ball away, which resulted in him getting booked. And then he made a silly, rash challenge and then got a second yellow. Kilmarnock's fifth red card of the season so far. Yeah, seems like he cost them that one. But as I say, that finished 2-1 to Ross County. Kelly with a man sent off. What I want to do quickly, just before we finish up, let's go ahead and preview this coming week's fixtures. An absolutely massive game at Pittodrie. Rangers head up there to see if they can make a dent into Aberdeen's fantastic start to the season. Finlay, I'm going to start with you. 8 p.m. kickoff, Aberdeen versus Rangers. Who's going to win and what's your score?
I think Rangers should come away with a win. I know Aberdeen got the result against Celtic and I know it's away. I just think maybe the gap between games is something Aberdeen, this squad in particular, are not used to in the same way the Rangers squad are. And I think despite the good run of form, Rangers still remain the better team. Now 2 wins on the bounce. They'll be feeling good about themselves. I think if it's possible, get Tavernier back in the side. They'll be strengthened. I think this could be the first time that Aberdeen fall by the wayside. I'm going to say 2-1 Rangers.
I'm going to be very boring and I'm going to go for a draw. I just don't see either team breaking the other down, really. I think obviously Rangers, has been said, Rangers are on the back of 2 wins, but did lose to Kilmarnock last weekend. So there's kind of, I think there will be a bit of doubt in the back of Rangers' minds. Aberdeen obviously in fantastic form, and there will be, I do think it will very much be as much of a mental battle as it will a physical one. I just feel like that will probably have a part to play in it, and I don't think that Rangers will be able to fully break them down, so I'm going to go with 1-1.
I think it's really interesting that you said, Robbie, though, is you went for a draw, because I think every single Celtic fan will be biting your hand off for hoping these two draw, because if Celtic beat Dundee, they would then move top of the table by 3 points. Speaking of Celtic and Dundee, that game's on Wednesday. Robbie, who we thinking's going to win that one? Celtic versus Dundee, Celtic Park, 7:45 kickoff.
I can't see past anything other than a Celtic win on that one, I think. Obviously, like I said previously, there's not been a game yet in the Scottish Premiership where Celtic haven't scored 2 goals or more. I think obviously Dundee, they've been very good the start of this season, but I just think that the experience of Celtic is gonna come up trumps against newly promoted side.
Finlay, what about yourself?
I'm gonna keep it simple here. I think Celtic win it. You know, I'm just gonna say 2-0. Can't see Dundee troubling too much, and I just see Tony Docherty going damage limitation once the 2 goals are in.
Let's move on. Dundee United versus Motherwell. Finlay, we'll go with you. Who are you seeing running out with that one?
Not game of the week, but maybe scoreline of the week. I'm going to go 3-3. I can just see lots of goals. Maybe call it 1 or 2 added time goals. It just seems like one of those games and a lot of complaints in the press after. I'm going 3-3.
Robbie?
Both teams have scored a decent amount of goals, but both teams have also conceded quite a few goals as well. So I can see quite a few goals going in as well. I'm going to go with 2-1 to Motherwell.
Okay, Hearts versus Kilmarnock at Tynecastle under the lights. The Gorgie faithful hoping that after their win in Europe and after a positive draw against their Edinburgh rivals, can they go and get another victory? Well, their first victory for Neil Critchley.
Yeah, I think they can. I think that the new manager bounce is definitely a thing. And I think that, to be honest, that they're going to get another result. So I'm going to go with 2-0 to Hearts.
Finley?
Just a 1-0. I think 2 weeks ago, if you'd asked me, I would say Kilmarnock would have come away with something. But Hearts just look like a different team now. And I think Kilmarnock have some creeping issues to sort out. Red cards. Basically.
Okay. Ross County versus the other half of Edinburgh and Hibs. Finlay, we'll go with you for this one.
I'm going to say both teams need it just as much as the other. It should be a kind of tight affair. I think people will think that Hibs will struggle, but I've been impressed by Gray and Hoylett, and I think they'll do enough and get 1-0 win.
All right. What about yourself, Robbie?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the same. I'm going to go with 1-0 Hibs. I think if I went anything else and my uncle listened to this, then I think he would kill me. So I think I'll go with 1-0 Hibs.
Fair, you're not sitting there with a gun to your head. I love it. St Mirren versus St Johnstone, the Battle of the Saints. Who's walking out with that one, Robbie?
I think that it has to go St Johnstone, this one. I think I'm going to go 1-0 St Johnstone.
And just finally for yourself, Finlay.
Because my friend is a St Mirren fan, season ticket holder, I think he would suplex me if I said anything other than St Mirren. And I actually do think that they are the better team. And if they can, you know, if Osanya could play the way he did against Rangers, I reckon 2-0 St Mirren.
All right, perfect. I love how the last two matches have either resulted with someone's uncle coming after them or you getting sent to Suplex City. Not something we want to see. So, we'll go with that. We'll leave it there. An interesting weekend of our week, midweek football coming up. Can't wait to sort of see how these results play out. And next week we will recap them. Next week is the League Cup semi-final. It is Rangers versus Motherwell and it is Celtic versus Aberdeen at Hampden Park. There will also be a chance to recap some Scottish football in terms of action in the Premiership. And we will recap all of that next week once it unfolds. Finlay, Robbie, pleasure to have you join me tonight on our podcast, on our first one back. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. I want to say a massive thank you for coming on. And I will see you all next week.